Hello, good afternoon. My name's Stuart. You know, today is about experiencing the Holy Spirit individually, personally for yourself. Jesus said, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Interesting little statement about being born again. And Sharon talked about being born again 5 years ago. We all know that we've been born. You can just do a quick check. You're real flesh and blood. And you know that you've been born physically. But Jesus wants us to be born again, a second time, spiritually. And when he's talking to an old religious leader about this, it's difficult for him to get his head around. How can you be born again? It's such a strange concept. Because when you're born as a child, you know, as a baby, you're born and life begins at that point. There's nothing behind you, you know, you've been 9 months in the womb and you're born and you begin your life and you begin to grow and learn to do things and whatever. And when you're born again, born of the Spirit, you experience that. I mean, as a baby, you don't really remember much about it. I don't remember my first day. I'm sure you don't remember yours. You don't remember the really early years. But when you're born of the Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes into you and you're born again, born of God, born from above, born of the Spirit, Jesus calls it. You experience that for yourself and you're part of that process and you're fully aware of it. You know, it's really important to know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't lose anything. You don't lose control. It's not like somebody else is controlling you and making you do something you don't want to do. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're absolutely fully in control, but you experience the process of being changed by God. And Jesus wants us to be born again, new birth, and to be born into a family. We're born into families, and spiritually you're born into a family as well. When you become a Christian, when you're born of the Spirit, you have brothers and sisters all over the world, which is an amazing experience. To be like other Christians, you know, is amazing. When I first became a Christian, someone said to me, what you need to do now is go to church, because I became a Christian without any experience of church at all. And I thought, go to church? You're joking. I don't want to go to church. They're all weird. I'd never been to a church. That's just what I thought, you know, or not much anyway. But when I went, I realised, oh, actually, I have something really amazing in common with these people. And what it is we have the same Father in heaven. We have the same Father in heaven. And if we come to know him and become his children, then that means we're related. If we have the same Father, that makes us brothers and sisters, doesn't it? And you can experience that for yourself today. To become sons and daughters of God is an amazing thing. It says this in the beginning of Romans. I'll read a few scriptures for you as we go through. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So we can be set free from the things that we've done wrong, and know God. To become his children is to know him, to know God. I was doing an Alpha talk in Kirk Leventon prison a number of years ago, and a Muslim guy came in called Oscar, and he sat in for the talk, and I was chatting away about things, and he was really interested, until I started talking about knowing God as our Father, and he really struggled with that. We had a long conversation afterwards, and he was saying, how can you say that you know God? God is unknowable. So to Muslims, God is unknowable. You can't know him. It's almost like an insult. You can't know him. And I said, I do know him. I know him through Jesus Christ. I know him through being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know him because he's my Father and I'm one of his children. And he really struggled with that. And this makes Christianity different to all other religions. There's lots of things that make Christianity different. Here's another one. To know God and to be his children. To be a real child of God and to know him personally as your Father is different to all of the world religions. That he's your Father personally and you can know him for yourself. Not know him through somebody else, but know him for yourself. I was thinking of it a bit like walking in the rain. Have you ever walked in the rain and tried to get underneath somebody's umbrella? It's impossible. My wife's nightmare. She always holds it in that hand. I'm on this side. I walk around that side. She puts it in the other hand. And but Christianity, being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got your own umbrella. Under your own protection, and you can have an experience with God yourself. What a privilege to be a child of God. to be a child of God, to know him as your father. He also has this intimacy, talks about being close to God. Let me just read to you this little bit. It's again in Romans 8. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And in the Bible where it says sons of God, that includes women. It's children of God, okay? You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. And Sharon was talking about that. But you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is a personal term. It means dad or daddy. Abba, Father, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The Spirit of God testifies with your spirit. It's personal. So you might be stood really close to someone who's born again, but you get nothing. You have to receive it for yourself. And this relationship with God is deeply intimate. You've probably heard us say many times that God loves you. But to fully understand how he loves you, the intimacy of that, you can only experience that for yourself. When I first became a Christian, as many of you know, it was through my brother was a Christian and he was dying of cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer on the 9th of January 1996 and died on the 19th of February the following month, 6 weeks later. And during that period, I became a Christian. I'd never read the Bible, never heard the gospel preached, never heard the gospel preached in church. I'd been to my brother's daughter's weddings. And I asked Jesus to come into my life one day. And that's exactly what he did in that moment. And about a year after my brother died, I really was missing him and feeling really down about him because our parents split up when I was 11. And we hadn't seen a lot of each other as we were growing up. In my teenage years, and I didn't see him very often. So when he first died, although I was devastated, I didn't really miss him that much at first, because I didn't see him that often. But as the months went by, it slowly dawned on me, as I started to think, oh, I haven't seen our Charles for a while. I started to think, hang on a minute, I'm never going to see him again. And after about a year, it really hit me like a brick wall. And I was feeling really down about this over a period of days, and thinking about him and missing him and stuff, And I had so many questions to ask him, but he'd gone. I wanted to ask him about, he'd been a Christian for like 18 years and I'd always mocked him for his faith and I wanted to talk to him about those things, but I couldn't. And I went to bed one night and I had a dream. And the Bible talks about God speaking to people, the Holy Spirit speaking to people in dreams. And I'd read that, but thought nothing of it. And I had a dream one night, a vivid dream. I mean, vivid, like as vivid as I'm talking to you now. And in my dream, the phone rings. I pick up the phone and I answer the phone. It's my brother, Charles. And he sings happy birthday to me. He was a good singer, not like me. He had a really distinctive singing voice and he sang me happy birthday in my dream. I put the phone down in my dream and then I wake up. I sit up because I'm shocked. I thought, I've never had a dream like that before in my life. That was weird. That was unbelievable. I was shocked. When you wake up from a dream, it takes a little bit of time to work out reality and everything. And I'm thinking, that dream was so real. That's absolutely amazing. And then I'm thinking, why is he singing me happy birthday? My birthday's not till April. It's January. What's going on? Can I be God? And I think about it a little bit more. And then I realise it's the 13th of January, a year to the day that I became a Christian. I've been a Christian 365 days. That it was my birthday. It was my second birthday, I'm spiritually born again. It was my birthday. It was a year that I'd become a Christian. Amazing. I was absolutely amazed and felt total peace about my brother. God speaks to us. He cares about the tiny little things. People make big mistakes. They think God's not interested in the big things of life and he's not interested in the little things. And he is. The tiny little things. God is absolutely interested in those for us. He gives us a future and a security, a connection with us through experience, a real connection for yourself. You can plug in. When you put a plug in the socket and you're doing something, like hoovering. I'm a good husband, I do the vacuuming, And you go too far and the plug comes out a little bit and you lose a bit of power. Or the electricity goes off, or these lights go off sometimes, don't they? Where the power changes. But once you're plugged into God, It's permanent. Once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, touched by God, it's permanent. And we can wander off and do our own sorts of things, but God stays connected to us because he loves us. He wants you to become his son or daughter today. Martin was right when he said, you know, you're not here by accident. And Billy Graham, the American evangelist, used to say, you can't come to God whenever you like. You can only come, the Bible tells us, when the Spirit of God draws you. And you've been personally invited to come close to him today. He wants to come close to us today. The Bible talks about Jesus coming close to us, not into the room, but into our hearts, coming that close so that we can become his children. It's also about developing a relationship with him. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Makes us sons and daughters of God and helps us to develop a relationship with him. And it says that through him, the Holy Spirit, we both, that's us and Jesus, have access to the Father by the same Holy Spirit. He helps us to pray. Let me just read you what it says in verse 26 of the chapter. It says, in the same way, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. It's interesting, Sharon was talking about words popping into her head. What is that? What is that? That's God speaking to someone, prompting someone. You know, the more long you've been a Christian, you hear about people, you know, going into a shop and seeing a book, then walking past a church and seeing a sign. All of these things. I mean, God speaks to us in those ways. The Holy Spirit draws us and directs us. And he wants to develop that relationship with us so we learn to hear him. So that we learn to recognise that the things that are happening in our lives aren't just the circumstances of life, but it really is God. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation the Bible talks about. Let me just read this little bit from the book of Ephesians. It says, where are we? Getting to that age now where I'm looking and I turn well for my eyes to focus. Anyway, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better, that he'll speak to you and you'll get to know him. Wisdom. I don't know about you, but would you like wisdom for life? Wisdom to do things. You know, I've got lots of academic qualifications, but you know what? In terms of living my life, I'll tell you now, they mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. It's the wisdom of God that teaches you how to be a better child, how to be a better father or a better mother or a better brother or a better sister or a better person at work, to make the right moral decisions in life, to love people, have compassion for people, to do the right things in life, to make the right moral choices. That wisdom comes from God. You don't get it in university. You don't get it in sixth form, even, you believe it or not. You get it from Almighty God by the Holy Spirit. It's a free download. You've heard of free downloads, haven't you? Well, you can get one today from Almighty God for yourself. And there's plenty to go around. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the ultimate revelation to us from God is of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit like points a big spotlight on Jesus into our lives. You can read through the Bible and get to know Jesus for yourself, have him revealed to you and to know him. People can become Christians in a moment and know God for themselves. Absolutely. That's what happened to me. I'd never read the Bible. Asked Jesus to come into my life. And literally in those moments afterwards, I knew God. I knew him. If you'd asked me about him, I wouldn't be able to tell you much. But I knew that I knew him. I knew that my life had completely changed forever from that point. I couldn't have explained it to you because I didn't really know exactly what was happening. And I'd never read the Bible. But I knew it had happened. Absolutely. It's not about reading the Bible and learning to understand it and working it all out and passing the RE, O-level or GCSE or whatever it is you do these days. Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that at all. It's about knowing it from the Holy Spirit himself. So he develops our relationship with God and he transforms us into his likeness. Let me just read to you just a little bit. Okay, I need some new glasses. Right. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we reflect him. We reflect Jesus. So people see something in us that's different. And we're being transformed to be like him. I've travelled not all over the world, but different places, South America and Italy and Estonia and South Africa. And I meet Christians from all of these places. And the languages are completely different, but the people are exactly the same because they reflect God. The expression of God is the same. I've been in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and seen nuns in a traditional Catholic mass in Latin or something totally I couldn't understand. Nuns like that, praising God. I've been at massive rock concerts in Colombia, Christian meetings this is, in the football stadium where there's 70,000 Christians gathered around teenagers and mostly teenagers and people in their 20s, all praising God in exactly the same way as nuns in Italy. Like, what's going on? It's the same expression and love of Jesus making us the same, family likeness, reflecting the Lord's glory, transforming us and making us more like Jesus. And it's clear from Sharon's life, she was talking about being transformed and changed for the better and being complete. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you come to Jesus, you don't lose yourself. You become you, but better. All the good stuff about you, plus loads of other stuff as well. And, wonderful to hear from Sharon about that. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we all know that fruit is good for you. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wonderful things. Can you imagine going to someone's home and that being in their home? That their home is full of these things. Can you imagine going to someone's house and it being full of love and joy and peace and patience? Do you know what? Christian homes are like that. Did you know that? Full of love and joy and peace. Before I became a Christian, my sons were 10 and 12. When I became a Christian, my wife wasn't a Christian. And we were kind of, my wife and I had always struggled. We'd been married for 14 years and we loved each other and we really believed in marriage. That was probably what saved us. We just had this, both had this deep sort of childhood dream, romantic thing about marriage. And but we were struggling. My wife struggled to be the wife that she wanted to be. I certainly struggled to be the husband I wanted to be. And we both struggled to be the parents we wanted to be to our children. We were struggling. And in that. But when I became a Christian, things changed. My wife became a Christian a year later. And our children, round about the same time, made their first commitments to Christ at the ages of 11 and 13. And all these amazing things changed. I mean, you've got to understand this. It wasn't that suddenly I knew exactly what to do and became a super parent, because there's no such thing. But it was that God came. When I read the scripture, where God says, or Jesus says, if anyone loves me, they will obey my commandments. I will tell my Father about them, and we will come and make our home with them. I was stood by the microwave when I read that. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I remember being blown away, thinking, oh, we're not on our own. The Holy Spirit is going to come into our home and make his home with us. God is going to be in my home. What a wonderful thing. And he can be in your home. Would you like more love and joy and peace in your life? You don't meet many people who say, oh, I've got too much love in my life and too much joy. No more jokes and laughing for me. I've had enough. No more peace for me. I want a bit more disruption in my life. No more peace. I've done peace. No, if we're honest, these are basic things we all want more of. More love, more joy, more peace. But different. Different to any type of love and joy and peace you've ever had in your life. I'm talking about the love and the joy and the peace that comes from God himself into your heart, into your life. An amazing thing. If you've never experienced it, you need to. It's absolutely beautiful. He gives us unity in the family of God. In the Bible it says that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're family. You've seen those mafia films. We're family. It's like that. We are family. You know, the church, I mean, this is one of the big things for me. I never understood this. until I've been a Christian a while, that you, from the outside, you assume, and I'd never looked at it from the outside, it's just that friends afterwards have spoken to me about it. Well, why are there all these different churches who have different names? There's Catholic churches and Protestant churches and Baptist churches and Anglican churches and these new modern churches. And why are they all separate and different? Well, do you know what? They're not. My experience is they're all working together, all reading the same Bible, all doing the same things. I was speaking at a Holy Spirit day, well, I was speaking at an Alpha Day the other day that was arranged by nuns in Hull. Beautiful. The food was awesome. Nuns are really good cooks. And the food was wonderful. I was fantastic. And Catholic nuns, brilliant, expressing their love for God in exactly the same way as Rosie and Francie. Our own little Colby nuns. Wonderful. It's a big family the world over. One big family. The other thing the Holy Spirit does is this. He gives us gifts. Gifts for each and every one of you. God has gifts for his children. God has gifts for you. You didn't know Christmas had come early. It has. There's gifts for you today. If you want them. Free gifts for each and every one of us. Let me just read to you what it says in 1 Corinthians. Whoops, losing all my markers. That'll spoil my life. It won't. Okay, let me just read this to you. It says, okay, this is about spiritual gifts for you, okay? This isn't spiritual gifts for priests and nuns and church leaders and people who have been Christians years. These are spiritual gifts for anybody that wants them today. Listen to this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women. Now, to each one, I'll see you lot, and me, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now there's a shopping list you've probably never seen before. There's a Christmas list you've probably never even considered. Some of these things might be completely strange to you. The gift of healing. I'm sure Martin will talk about these in the next session. But the gift of healing. Amazing. To be able to go up to somebody who's sick and pray for them and see them healed. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing gift. It's God who heals them. The gift of knowledge, knowing something about someone's life, and you know, feeling good at somebody saying, "I just believe God's saying this to you," and giving them something accurate for their life. I think someone had a word of knowledge for Sharon on her Holy Spirit Day. I seem to remember about a girl sitting on an orange settee. Do you remember it? I see a little girl sitting on an orange settee. I can't remember what the word was after that. But Sharon was impacted because when she was a little girl, she had an orange settee in her home she used to sit on. So she knew that was knowledge from God. So Sharon knew that word was for her because God saw her on that settee. Amazing. Would you like that gift? What a wonderful gift to be able to go up to somebody and share that with them. A wonderful thing. And these gifts are for each one of us to encourage us. It's all to do with encouraging. They're not negative things, these words of knowledge and wisdom. They're positive things to encourage us because he loves us. Gifts for each of us individually to help each other and build each other up because God loves us. And also, this family is growing. The family of God is growing. He empowers us to be witnesses for Jesus. It says this in the book of Acts. But you will receive power when, not if, but when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth and into Middlesbrough and Coleman Hume and Stockton. Doesn't say that bit, but you know what I mean. To the ends of the earth, all over the place. It gives us, you know, courage to witness to people. And I used to be concerned about that. I used to think, well, you know, is telling other people about Jesus knowing what to say? Is it about having the right answers to the certain questions? And it isn't. It's just about being available. I was at work and was talking to one of my students who was a professional boxer. And I said, oh, I know a professional boxer. And I started chatting about this lad I knew. And he said, how do you know him? I said, I was talking to him the other day. And he thought, you can't have been, because he's in jail. I said, oh, no, I was in jail talking to him the other day. He said, what were you doing in jail? I said, well, I go in and do things like the Alpha Course and tell people about Jesus and stuff like that. And he was amazed. So amazed, he came to church, which was a bit of a shock, have one of his students sit next to you in church. But he came to church. Martin was preaching. Martin asked people if they wanted to receive Christ as their Lord and Saviour and to give their lives to Jesus. And he stood up. And for the next few years, he was serious about God. But he kind of, by his own admission, he'd probably say that he lived his life kind of with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot doing his own thing. Now, he's completely with God. I bumped into him the other day. Every Saturday morning, him and his mates go into the streets in Darlington town centre and preach the gospel and hand out, you know, Bibles and things to people. Amazing. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got to go see that. Because a chance meeting and a sort of fumbled conversation in the corridor with somebody that you feel a bit embarrassed about and just kind of works because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit draws people. The Holy Spirit drew him to me and into that conversation. And that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to use you. It's not that you have to go and do something that you don't want to do necessarily. But he wants to use you to impact people around you, your family, your friends, the people you work with. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and stay being filled, the Bible says. Be filled all the time. It says this, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. And Martin talked about the Holy Spirit being in the first couple of lines of the very first part of the Bible. So he's on the first page of the Bible. He's on the last page as well. It says this, the Spirit and the Bride, that's the church, the bride, the Spirit and the Bride say come, and let him who hears say come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So Jesus wants to come, fill people with his Holy Spirit, if they ask. You understand, I can't ask for you. Martin can't ask for you. Sharon can't ask for you. You have to ask for yourself. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for yourself. Okay, let's finish by praying. If you just want to bow your heads and I'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing love. Lord, I thank you. I know that you love every single person in this room individually, wonderfully. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, for shedding your blood so that we can receive forgiveness and come into a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, you want to fill each and every one of us individually. You want to give each and every one of us gifts. You want to change and transform our lives just like you did for Sharon. You want to change our lives. You want to make us more like you. You're so interested in the little details of our lives. You know, and just in this moment while I'm praying, you know, you can speak to God in your heart about the little things in your life that really concern you. What's happening in your life that you're concerned about? What upsets you at the moment? What makes you tired and weary? What upsets you and makes you cry? You know what? God is absolutely interested in that situation because he so loves you. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit of God, touch our hearts, speak to us, help us, encourage us in all of the areas of our life that we need it. We ask you this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.